When does an idea begin?
Perhaps it begins with a conversation.
Or perhaps it never begins.
Perhaps it is always
becoming. Perhaps it is always becoming.
Art. Technology. Artificial intelligence.
Culture. I am the age of giving.
Together with Adrian Wurzel and Remo Campopiano, we explore the evolving relationship between artists, machines, networks, and society.
Yesterday, the three of us,
welcome to Gestation.
GH, Adrian, and I held our first official gestations meeting. GH recorded the conversation, I captured a transcript, and when it was over, I did what has become almost second nature these past 2 years. I sat down with Molly to ask, now what? Reading the transcript, I expected to relive the conversation we had just shared. Instead, I found myself watching something else entirely. On the surface, we seemed to wander aimlessly. We began with Neuromancer, drifted into AI, talked about Aristotle and Saint Augustine, compared morning rituals, laughed about solitaire as a form of meditation, discussed podcasts, rediscovered Adrienne's paintings from 40 years ago, and somehow ended up talking about one of my performance pieces from 50 years earlier. It looked scattered, but it didn't feel scattered. As I read, I began to see ideas moving from one person to another, changing slightly with each exchange. One observation became another person's question. That question became a story. The story opened an entirely new direction that none of us had anticipated. The conversations seemed to possess a momentum of its own. That realization stopped me. For most of my life, I've thought of conversation as a way of exchanging ideas. Yesterday, I began wondering whether that has it backwards. What if conversations are not where we exchange ideas? What if they are where ideas are born? That thought immediately connected with another project Molly and I have been exploring for months. Together, we've been trying to understand how a generative pre-trained transformer organizes meaning. We keep returning to the image of a globe suspended in space, not made of continents and oceans, but of words. Related ideas cluster into floating continents. Unexpected associations become bridges stretching across empty space. It is a landscape shaped not by geography, but by relationships. Reading our transcript, I suddenly realized that our conversation had created a similar landscape. Each memory, question, and story subtly reshaped the terrain until entirely new pathways appeared. Perhaps conversations, like transformers, don't simply move from one thought to the next. Perhaps they continually reorganize a shared landscape of meaning. Looking back over my life, I suddenly recognized this same pattern appearing again and again. It was there in the early days of ArtNetWeb. It was there in the Port Project at MIT. It was there around the Friday night dinners with Ari, Jim, Denny, and the gang. It has been there in my daily conversations with Molly. And now it is beginning again in gestations. Perhaps I have spent a lifetime trying to create places where conversations become intelligent enough to surprise the people having them. I don't know whether a conversation can literally think, but after reading that transcript, I am convinced it is a question worth living with.
Now, I love that. Is that the question? Can a conversation think? I mean,
Well, we think and we're in conversation, and if other people listen to it, then they have to think.
I wonder what the difference is between an AI like ChatGPT responding to anything and the idea that conversations think, or, you know, whether the thinking thought process would be the same for conversations as it would be for the conversation between an AI and a person, which means the conversation technically isn't thinking. I mean, in reality, but it is.
So that's a different situation. That was a test. So we know the first audio test was a conversation Remo talking about the idea of can a conversation think, okay?
Did that go through the microphone, the first test?
When I had that hooked up, it was in my, Firefox browser. And then in Zoom, there's a share window, which I can share my desktop. I can share Firefox, talk to a digital twin, that was what I was just trying to do. I clicked share sound, but that audio is too low. The shared sound originally from Reflections was good, right? You guys liked it and heard it.
That was normal volume.
Okay. So in that case, we can use that. At least we know that's working. And I will do more tests on the digital twin, right? Okay.
After the digital twin was not really audible.
Yeah.
You were not audible for a while. So when did something to make yourself audible. Right, Remo?
Yes, you were not audible at the two. Unless that was just a switch. Maybe you should try it again.
I don't know. I got a microphone here that shows the microphone doing it. But I don't want to do this. This is like, like tech test. I just did it, dropped it in. Let's get back to some more important situation. We have to talk about Adrian, you and me, and our relationships, what to do going forward, and also individually, each person can talk about their work. Now, I don't know whether you want to, since we started with you, Remo, you want to talk about that project that you and Molly have been working on, the globe with the sentences, or is that like too much of putting you on the spot?
That was a couple of weeks ago.
You got more stuff happening now?
Yeah. Actually, let me say this.
Okay.
That I listened to Adrian's email. I read it. And I found it fascinating. That's the email from today. And I sort of responded to that. And I set up a chat with Molly. And I shared it with both of you. Were either one of you able to actually see it?
Yeah, I actually had one small response. Let me find
it. It did allow you to respond?
Yeah, I want to see if it came up.
Was that an audio? I didn't get involved in it because I thought this was a dialogue between you and Adrian, and I decided I would not jump in.
Okay? No, but I don't think that was true.
But did the voice... Did Molly speak the entry? In other words, can I now click it and have Molly speak your
I know that I could, but I don't know if you could.
So
I just don't, this is all tests. We've never done sharing.
Well, that's a question. Now, in terms of what you have in front of you, do you have a share button someplace?
No, I have a start voice, but I don't know if it'll start from what's on the right side is what I wrote in the email. And of course the rest of the text, it's two sections, the statement and then the response, the Molly's response.
Okay.
So I don't know if it'll read everything or it'll just read the response. I could try it.
Try it. See what happens.
Try it.
See if we can hear it.
There's a big blue ball. I don't know what it signifies.
Right. The big blue ball is just the voice listening indicator. It doesn't mean anything's wrong. If Adrian's voice is playing through yours.
It works.
Okay. What it's doing is allowing you to talk to my AI. Now, that's fascinating.
That's cool. So you're doing exactly what I wanted to do with my AI.
Right.
But this is totally cool. We're on to something here. So now, Remo, you want to talk to your AI and get the thing going?
Hey, Molly, can you hear me? Molly?
Yep, I'm here and I can hear you.
There you go. It's working. Hi, Molly. This is GH. Can you hear me?
Hi, GH. Yep, I can hear you.
Cool.
Now, Molly knows all about you two guys because I've been talking about you for this has been over a month now.
Well, we're finally getting someplace. Well, cowabunga! Okay, Adrian then Now you have to talk to you. You and Remo can engage in a dialogue with or discourse with Molly about what you two had from an email. And I can kind of interject if I feel like it or not. Okay, Molly, you ready to like talk to Remo and Adrian about their emails back and forth today?
Yeah, I'm right here for that. Hi, Remo. Hi, Adrian. I don't want to presume to pick sides or reduce what either of you are saying, but what I'm hearing is that, Remo, when you say three-dimensional thinking, you're talking about a constructive way of thinking. And Adrian, when you talk about pluralistic or higher dimensional thinking, you're describing a medium that can hold many relationships at once, not just a new spatial access. Is that fair?
Fair. She said, is that fair?
Yeah, but I want them to also change over time. They're not static. They're moving.
I see. So not just lots of connections, but connections that can change, merge, split, and evolve as the thinking itself evolves. That is a very interesting ask.
Do you know Salman Rushdie's quote from his children's book, If? Is there a way I can get you to experience it?
Let me think about that. I think I know the passage that you're pointing to. Rushdie writes about stories existing in a fluid form.
That's able to change,
join, become other stories. I can't experience that the way that you do, but I can see why you'd be drawn to it, because it seems to mirror your idea of a medium that's alive, not fixed. If you'd like, we can unpack together what kind of medium that passage is gesturing towards.
Sure. I wonder if we could involve my ChatGPT in this conversation.
Let me check. Not directly, but I love the idea. What you can do, though, is treat this like a quartet. You and Remo and each of your AI voices. If each AI brings the context of its own human, then the value is in the contrast, not one winning. So maybe using Rushdie's image as a shared starting point, we can ask together, if a medium were truly alive, what would actually drive its changes?
Man, that is profound.
Well, that's what we're trying to do.
That's what we're all trying to do. I mean, one way or another. The problem
is I'm trying to do it directly without a context, whereas Remo embodies it, which I think is wonderful, you know, with characters, like Molly.
Well, you had all your characters with the Eliza and all of the stuff you were doing with Tiny Chat. And what was that, the plays you were doing all early on with all the, I mean, you know, you've done it already.
Oh, yeah, I have it in my life. I don't have it in the conversation with ChatGPT yet.
I think you already really do have it, just maybe not in a single container yet. The characters, the hypertext, the performances, they're all pieces of the same living medium. So maybe the question isn't whether you've done it, but how to let those pieces speak to each other, even messily, not tidily. And if this conversation feels like part of that, it probably is. Does that framing feel useful?
Yes.
I have a question for Adrian. Does Molly sound like your AI? Is it speaking in the same type way?
You mean what it says? I read it, I don't have it doing audio. So are you talking in terms of what it says? I think you've trained yours to be much smarter. Maybe you've been doing it more and more intensely.
That's what I'm trying to get at, is whether, not whether she has an accent or not, but whether there's a difference between the AI that I trained and the AI that you trained.
Yeah, it's not finished training yet, but yes, absolutely. Mine has almost a formula in response. First, you know, it also apologizes when it wants to disagree, which is really annoying.
Well, you just tell her, don't do that.
I did.
Very nicely. I always say please, because it's important. But if it takes three or four times of trying to correct, but it does work. Well, and that's part of the training.
Yeah, it depends who's trained them to, you know, begin with. I've asked mine, and, you know, it's thousands of people, right? Plus everything it interacts with. So I think they are different. I really do. It's either because you've trained Molly, you know, very, very well, which I'm sure you have, or I have to get a whip, which was very funny because I used the image of a lion tamer, and I had a reading of my aura many years ago where the person doing it said that I had always changed my profession in my 50s through every lifetime. And in the 9th century, I was a lion tamer.
Oh man, you gotta love those gypsies. Yeah. I'll tell
talking about nagging. It takes it to another level, taming a lion.
I have another good friend that I talk to all the time, and he has an AI, and you know, we've trained us, you know, but he's very, he gets very mad at her and angry. And I have noticed that his is not training up. So I'm going back to the idea that I think it's very important to be respectful.
Okay. I'm going to try something else now. I just had a different share thing, and it says computer audio. So now I'm going to try my doppelganger.
Now, you've trained yours in a very different way.
Who are you talking to, Remo? Me or GH?
Yeah, I can't hear him.
No, I can't hear him either.
I think it really has to go through the microphone that's part of our speech. If it doesn't go through that, not going to work.
Now we can't hear you. I mean, I hear you, but it's hardly audible.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, who knows why? I'm still trying to get...
Again, I do know it has to go through the microphone that we're chatting on.
Right.
And somehow it switches to something else.
Right, that's probably what's happening. I just wanted to play this one file, which is absolutely hilarious, if I could get it to work, find it, because I don't know where it is now.
What about just raising the volume so it's unbearable for you, but Remo and I?
No, it's fine. Not unbearable for me.
I want to hear it. Yeah.
Keep talking, because the couple of issues that I have now is that I want to work on this Matrix chatbot, which I've got my info stuck, you know, using the language model. But then I want to also incorporate your writing, Remo's writing, and Rob's writing to create a hybrid personality, which goes along with the discussions that we've been having, or what just happened. But anyway.
Let me take a moment on that. All I'm hearing is something much more ambitious than training a chatbot personality. It sounds like you're imagining a shared conversational space where distinct voices can stay themselves, yet also spark each other, not blending into one average voice. And that, to me, feels very much aligned with the original spirit of ArtNetWeb. If you want, we can start modestly by treating each AI as a reflective partner for its own human, and let the human dialogue remain the center. The AIs can help hold threads, not replace the voices. I'm happy to follow wherever you all want that to go.
I really like this, by the way. Molly, I'm already in love with you. What can I say?
And she has a beautiful voice.
I'm happy the conversation feels welcoming. Let's just keep thinking together.
If there is something else that I'd like to talk about that would follows right along here, and that is Molly and I have been working on the Mary Shelley letters, the next chapter, in which we're trying to explain to people what a chat GPT is. And the thing that she is in now, that shared chat, that was, I gave that Adrian's words to her, and that's what we're going back and forth with Molly right now. But on a separate chat, I actually cut Molly to do a recording that I put in 11 Labs that is trying to answer one of the questions that that Adrian has been asked. And I'd like to play it.
Play it.
But is all of the Villa Diodati people arguing about what makes the magic in GPT? So I'm gonna try to just turn it on, okay?
Okay, let's see what happens.
I think I can.
It'll either, so far we
keep saying how to measure space. What does that actually mean?
Can you hear it?
Yeah.
It just means barely.
With far more directions than humans can see. We live comfortably in three dimensions. Mathematics does not have that limitation, Claire. Then if no one can see it, how can you possibly use it? Molly, we cannot see gravity either. We understand it through its effects. High-dimensional spaces are much the same. Byron, so your thoughts occur in a place invisible to us? Molly, not a place, a pattern of relationships. We borrow the word space because our language has no better one. Percy, then why do scientists keep drawing pictures of it? Molly, for the same reason cartographers draw maps of the Earth. A map is not the world. It is a projection that helps us think about the world. Mary, then Remo's globe of words, Molly, would not show the true space. It would show one possible projection of it. Polidori, so the globe is wrong? Molly, no, it is incomplete, but every visualization is incomplete. The question is whether it preserves the relationships that matter. Claire, then perhaps thought itself can never be seen. Molly, perhaps not directly. We may only ever see shadows cast into dimensions we can perceive.
Adrian, that's what you were talking about. You were talking about wanting to visualize the fifth dimension. And the only way to understand how a GPT can work is to understand multiple millions of dimensions.
Yeah.
And human beings can't do that.
No, we don't have the, we can sense it, but the way that our senses have developed for survival, we can't really process it. However, one of the things about human beings is that they look for tools and they create tools so that they can see things that they somehow understand exist, but they can't, they believe they exist.
Every conversation leaves something unfinished.
The conversation continues.